Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bonjour.
Salve.
Buongiorno.
Hola.
Willkommen. To das Chambel du Pod.
Oh, beaucoup de Chambel du Pod.
Con to host, Laurie San Havelock.
Paddington von Bismarck Jervin.
Das episode,
Schnellwitzer.
Sieben.
Schnellwitzer.
We.
Karunkepuff.
Je voudrais.
Karusakitoneo.
Moule frites. Do shamble do put.
Hang on.
No, sorry, this is a fucking shambles. Pod shambles.
Nice.
You're right, mate.
Hello!
How you doing?
Episode 7 is here.
We made it.
We
together.
Made it. Together.
We're a quarter of the way to episode 28.
I know.
Which we all know is going to be bloody brilliant.
I know. That's the big one. That's the big one. That's the landmark with which all other podcasts are measured.
Weighed, tarred, feathered. How have you been? What's been going on?
I've been well, actually. I've sort of had a week off from work.
Where did you go?
I actually went to my father's house for his 60th birthday.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Yes, Merry Christmas indeed, and to all a good year. Is that it? Yeah,
yes.
Something like that. I had a lovely time. I was doing the music at my dad's 60th.
So you'd been the DJ?
No, I was playing guitar.
Guitar!
You know, my sitar was there. She was
sitar.
She was doing piano. And
guitar.
It was bloody lovely.
Oh, lovely.
We bought him a Nintendo.
I heard from the grapevine. He phoned me up. He wee-mated me and said, look, let's go bowling, but on the Wii.
He does love contacting you. He
hasn't, right?
No, that's the thing. He actually told me this weekend. He tried to contact you. This is 100% true. Because my dad has recently got Facebook. And he got very confused because he thought all status updates were people talking to him.
Oh, no.
And he's got like 400 friends because everyone's been waiting for James Jervis to get involved.
Join the revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Web
so,
2.0.
One of my friends be like, oh, you know, DJing tonight at the Cellar, and my dad will like put his status update as be like, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't make it
to the Cellar.
I'm really
sorry, mate.
So his Facebook page is just this stream of nonsensical shite, and I think he tried to have a conversation with you about one of the podcasts.
Oh gosh!
And just ended up saying, putting his status as like, really good job, Laurie. I hope you're well.
Oh, I'm really bad. I didn't see it.
Oh well, don't worry.
I don't think I'm his friend.
I don't know.
I have to find him.
Do find him. And he thinks very highly of you.
Wonderful. I'm glad.
He is a good man.
Now, Paddy, to effortlessly segue on from talking about your dad,
okay,
right? What do you, this came up today, right? In my daily life existence, you
came
know,
up,
out
what,
of the town,
in, appeared, or,
yeah,
okay,
out of the bush,
out of the bushel,
right? What is the sign of putting a sock on one's door? What does that mean to you? Like as a kind of, you know, if you popped over someone's house and there was a little sock on the door of their bedroom, what would you?
Is it on the bedroom door or the front door?
Well,
oh, okay,
kitchen door.
Okay, all right. Okay, let me go through the rooms. Okay, front door.
Yeah.
It is the international sign for enter. It's like the door's open.
Pop on the sock, inside.
I'm hanging up the washing, you know, okay. Come on in. Bedroom, yeah. It might involve some pretty sexy matters.
Uh-oh.
But then a sock, that's a bit odd, isn't
it? Well, do you know what? I thought this is a recognised sign of sexy times, you know? I thought the sock was an international look.
No, that's a hat.
No, someone else said a hat. Who has a hat?
I have a hat.
I don't own a hat.
I have loads of hats.
I know, but I don't. So am I forbidden from having sexy time if I can't find a hat to worn?
No, you just buy a sexy hat.
It has to be a sexy hat.
Yeah, of course, it has to be.
Do you have a sexy hat? Because you've got a lot of beanies.
A bowler hat with a feather in it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought. A feather if you're entertaining two ladies.
Or like a plumed Spartan commander's hat. Yeah, and you hang
maybe
that on
a sailor's hat if, you know, you're someone's come aboard from sea. I don't know.
Yeah, if it's nautical set. So that's bedroom.
Okay.
Kitchen, yeah. Means I'm cooking, but it's probably not good. Like, it's like I put a sock in the door because you probably shouldn't come
watch
in.
Watch out, mate.
Watch out.
It's sock worthy.
Bathroom.
Yeah.
Is shower isn't working, but I'm trying it anyway. Like, you know, I'm giving it a go. Like, you're probably in there with like a bucket and sponge. Like, you know, wiping,
not even wiping
down.
It, just squeezing the sponge on your head every time
and crying
for extra moisture.
And that's why the sock's there.
Okay.
And then
the crying.
Yeah. And then just the toilet is like, there are complications. Like, check if I'm okay if the sock is still there.
Give
in
me
an hour.
One tug for yes, two tugs for no.
Yeah, it's connected to a string, which is indirectly attached to your arm or something.
We can see your arsehole.
It's attached to my arse. And what other rooms are there in the house?
A conservatory.
The conservatory, it means sunny out might be worth a game of backgammon.
That's in the sun.
In the sun.
Okay, what if it's on the drawing room?
Drawing room is I'm entertaining guests.
I'm entertaining probably at least an earl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they have to be quite high up guests. And the pantry, of course, means someone, for the love of God, buy more raisins.
We're out of raisins.
Because I know that you ate them.
Like, so I put your sock on the fucking door, that's
why
you prick.
That's why the sock's there. So I think that's all the rooms in a house.
Sure, well, I looked it up because I wasn't sure. I was rocked by the revelation that it was a hat rather than a sock. Right?
Okay.
So I went on to, you know, the first sensible place anyone goes, which is the internet,
of course,
to find out, right? So I found
the international netting agency.
Yes, they were very helpful.
Oh yes,
they said don't use them for netting because they're very insoluble.
Yes, of course.
Not the word I meant, but you know what I mean. And I went out to, I found a thread on wordreference.com of a kind of website to help you work out what is going on in language. So people put up idioms, you know, people go like, oh, I don't really know what this means. And it
do you,
you
frequent
know,
this website?
I don't. I wish. I'm going to now.
Is it like Reddit for dicks?
Reddit for pedants.
Actually, Reddit is Reddit for
yeah,
dicks.
Exactly.
I love Reddit.
I love it, and I'm a dick. So, okay. So here is his little user, Braveheart. He's Japanese.
Okay.
Okay. So presumably slightly not completely au fait with Western customs. I don't think that's a bigoted thing to say.
Okay.
And he says, hi. Could you tell me the meaning of put a sock on the door in the following context, okay? Bear in mind he's got one reference point to ask what this means. The following is an excerpt from US TV show The OC.
Okay, he of says, course. Everyone's yeah. port of call.
But just in case you're not familiar, he brings us up to speed. So he goes, Seth and Ryan are close friends.
As we all know.
Seth is going to a party where he will most likely be unwelcome.
Oh, no.
He's Seth. He's a bit nerdy. He's probably going to make some wry acerbic comment.
Which one was
someone.
Seth? Was Seth the dog?
No, yeah. Seth Seth was the lovable speaking Rottweiler.
Yes.
And Ryan is all kinds of wrong, but also so right. Anyway, Ryan is worried about Seth's going to the party. Excellent construction for a Japanese.
Is Ryan welcome?
Ryan, no. We think so.
Okay.
That's the implication. But Ryan has to go on a date with his girlfriend. He has to, instead of going to this party. Okay?
Oh, so Ryan's not going?
No, I think so. Sorry.
Then why is he worried about Seth going?
Because Seth's likely to be unwelcome.
But why does Ryan care?
Because Ryan, they're mates, Paddy. You know what it's like. If you went to a party and I knew you weren't going to be welcome, you're going to go to a party and you're like, I'm going to dress as a German again. And I was Paddy... Not good, it's not going to go well. Yeah. I would let, you know, there would be some consequences. Anyway, Seth delivers this line, reports Braveheart. It's fine, it's not a big deal, I promise. Now, you have got a date, okay? So you have to go.
He has to go on the date.
Stage directions, Ryan still looks worried.
Oh.
Seth says, make me proud. Ryan gives up and walks away.
Okay.
Put a sock on the door. End of the dialogue. Braveheart says, thanks. in anticipating some helpful answers.
Put a sock on the door.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not even like someone doing it in context.
Pop a sock on the door.
It's him directing him to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. Okay. So someone says, Thomas Tompion, who is from southwestern France, says, I'm not an aficionado of television, but put a sock in it is an old-fashioned expression in British English, abbreviated to BE, meaning, please be quiet, shut up. It's not polite here.
Yes.
The idea is that one should put a sock in one's mouth.
Yes, to stop them talking.
Exactly. I suspect your phrase, he says, using his internet detective skills, means don't slam the door.
What? Like using the sock as a protective barrier
know,
to stop it?
Some kind of muffler. I don't think it's suggesting they go to the lengths of putting a sock around the door to stop it banging.
Oh, he's one step ahead.
He's one step ahead. He says, like, let's see what the experts say. Their views will be much more authoritative.
Are there experts
apparently
on this website?
Apparently so. Because weighing in comes La Reine Victoria.
Also from France?
No, from the Isle of Wight.
Oh, that's
doesn't make
that's
sense.
That's a red herring, isn't it?
Hi, Braveheart. I see put a sock on the door as a sign meaning do not disturb.
I would have thought that.
Please wait for other replies.
Please
it's
what?
Very official. It's like a waiting room of doctors. And then Nunty, right, who is from Jerusalem, his native language is Hebrew, but he's bilingual in US English.
US English.
He says, sorry, Thomas Tompion, but I think you're off in the wrong direction.
Oh, no.
I tend to go in the same direction as Her Highness, which I imagine is referencing La Reine
British
Victoria.
English.
Would Ryan and Seth be roommates? Oh, he's got to the nub of the matter. Putting a sock, a necktie, a scarf, never seen any of that shit, on the outside doorknob is an old way. Back in the olden times, of course, in medieval England, when socks were plentiful. But for one roommate to let the other one know that they have a date in the room, probably for the night.
Oh, okay.
Oink,
okay.
Oink.
So this is going down our
exactly.
sexy time argument.
Exactly. I think that Seth is wishing Ryan luck on his date. Brackets, just to spread it out, i.e. that the evening will end in sex.
Oh, of course.
For someone.
Yeah, well, that's what we said. It's odd that no one's brought up the hat.
I don't know. I found it quite funny. Anyway, that's about it. Oh, no, the next bit is, non-translator is correct, which I imagine is his old username, probably.
Okay.
Sock on the door. It's a signal to us not to disturb, because there is, brackets, hopefully, sex occurring inside.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
I thought I'd bring it up to educate everyone.
Does Braveheart have like a closing statement?
Well, no. Not really. All he says is, thanks, guys. Appreciate your help. Hi, Nun. Seth and Ryan are living in the same house.
Oh, so now he's sending him in.
And Seth often visits Ryan's room when he's not welcome. So your guess is absolutely right.
Do we know how the episode ended?
Case closed. They all had sex together.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
I
just like the idea of it in not even intimating that you're having sex, just that sex is hopefully occurring inside.
Okay.
And also, the thing that gets me,
right.
Okay, all I thought is if you bring home a lady or a man with the under the proviso of having sex, presumably for the first time, because you know you wouldn't have to spread it out if this was a regular thing, right? Mm. When would the moment come when you'd met this new person? You went, sorry, I've just got to pop outside and put a sock on the door,
because
that is not only one laying all your cards down, but also a potentially fucking weird thing to do in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah, of course. And I mean, also let's say
let alone a hat. Let alone I've got to go into my hat box and get out my trilby and put it on the door. Don't worry, love, I'll be back in a second.
Well, because the two points at which you could do that in the evening is either before the idea of sex is on the table,
which is
dangerous, because
dangerous.
That's very presumptuous.
What if they come back and see it and go, I ain't having sex with you.
Yeah, absolutely. What if they go outside and then, can't get back in because there's a hat on the doorknob? You know, I mean, it could all kinds of wrong. So, the other reason is, like, sex has started, or, like, we're in the preliminary stages. And
the preliminary stages of sexual intercourse.
And he's had to stop and go, I'll be back in a sec. I need to go and put a sock on the door.
Or a hat. Or a scarf.
It's like, what kind of distraction is that? It's like, sorry.
It's quite useful if, you're having trouble. If you can't, make your gentleman behave or something. You're
like,
oh, I've got to put a sock on the door.
Yeah.
And you
go out a picture
of, Holly Valance and then come back in and you're fine.
Oh, poor guy. Well, I've never watched The OC, so it could be anything.
It could be literally anything.
What does The OC stand for?
The Opulent Cuntholes. which is what it's about.
Oh, Christ. The adventure of two unlikely dogs trying to get along.
I thought it'd be the adventures of, you
with
know,
Misha Barton.
Jesus and his mate, Tony. And yeah. Every episode says, oh, Christ, what have you done now?
Yeah, Christ is
and Jesus is there,
wrong.
And he's, you know, he's dropped all the flan through his stigmata. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of slipped through.
The jelly has gone everywhere.
Oh, God, poor Messiah.
Well, there we go. I'm glad we were all cleared up on that.
That was a lovely intro. Thank you very much, Laurie. Let's get on with the episode.
Echicode.
We've got loads of great
loads of fun things, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
On the podcast.
They don't really have the option of not staying tuned.
Well, they could
like,
just
they
turn
can't
us
change
off.
Station. Oh, yeah, I guess they could just pause it. I hope you don't. One, two, three.
Rapidash, Rapidash, name that Pokemon Rapidash. Oh, Rapidash, Rapidash, name that Pokemon Snake backwards.
Eccles. So this bit involves me asking you a little question that is dipping into your history. Dip into my history.
Oh,
it's nice in there, isn't it?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Oh, it's sordid.
Oh, watch out.
Awful.
Here comes the shark.
There's a lot of sponges in there. What happened to you?
Well, I had to mop up.
Basically, when you were at school,
yes.
I mean, we went to the same school.
We did.
So I probably know this.
All right.
But when you were at school or at work, I wonder what's the most odd punishment you've ever been given for doing something wrong or for being a dick or whatever?
I don't know. That's inviting a slightly kind of sexy chain answer, which I can't really provide you with. I remember the single worst thing I did at school.
Yeah.
Right. It was when you won't know this. So you're my when I was at primary school, we had these beautiful new state-of-the-art computers. Ooh. And they had microphones attached. It was one of the biggest attractions of them.
Mm.
All very cool. And I was a boarder, so we used to kind of go every night and have internet time before bed, you know, when the internet was still big and new and innocent, not full of dicks.
Yeah.
Of both kinds. And my friend, well, I say friend, acquaintance John, who should remain semi-nameless.
Okay.
Recorded a song about someone else at our school, a girl.
Oh, okay.
A very vile, sexually explicit song.
Oh, wow.
We're about 12. Oh, I shan't repeat any of the songs.
Oh, don't.
Let's just say it was rank.
Okay.
Anyway, me being the clever little pisshead I thought I was, I recorded this song using the microphone, being like, this would be fucking funny. Anyway, mistakenly left it on the computer. Got discovered because it was on the network.
Oh no.
I got hauled up in front of my entire year of boarders, including the girl in question. And I really incredulously couldn't understand what I'd done wrong, but I, you know, quickly made clear to me that I'd recorded it.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have. I kept it on my computer. And I got sent home for a night, which was quite extreme and I think probably fairly measured response. But that, the shame of that, of having my mum come pick me up at like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh no.
So I couldn't sleep over at school. It was bad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. Sorry, that's quite a disservice.
No, that's like, as opposed to being weird, that's just quite, that's quite awful.
It was quite apt as well. And it was a very scary, you know, public school headmaster who never shouted, but you know.
Of course.
He did have one incredibly wonky eye that got knocked around by a cricket ball, so that was quite scary.
The reason I ask is because.
But he never hit me.
I'm not.
Never hit me.
I won't hit you once.
No,
I'm sure he didn't. Right? Let's not go into that.
Okay.
Reason I asked, I was going through some of my old school books and stuff recently. I'm trying to clean out my house at the moment.
Right.
And I found a copy of a punishment I was given.
Oh, brilliant.
And this must have been when I was about 13, something like that, maybe 14.
Mm.
Anyway, I had a tutor called Miss Wigmore, who was a lovely, lovely woman. And she was quite a big fan of me. And I think she quite enjoyed the fact that I didn't like academic studies that much and instead, you know, spent my time writing fantasy books and
goobing around,
pretending I was an elf, that kind of thing.
You would just come into school, little fake ears, and go, Haroshka Parole!
Absolutely.
And just sit by a river and...
Like, that was quite odd, and I think she quite enjoyed that I had a relatively active imagination. So whenever I got in trouble, she'd set me, instead of saying, you know, write this out 1,000 times or whatever, she'd set me a task that I'd sort of end up enjoying, but would take me ages.
Right.
but would sort of further my either grasp of English or, you know, imagination in storytelling.
Knowledge of fine wine.
Exactly. It was always something to further me, which I think is quite sweet looking back on it. Anyway, I found this punishment that was basically, I can't remember what I did. It was probably something awful.
Probably killed a cat.
You know, yeah, it was, exactly. I was famous for that. And, and it was, she said, right, I want you to write me an essay on 101 things that you can do with an egg and a piece of paper.
Oh, God, no. This is where it all fucking started, yeah. Isn't it? The obsession.
The obsession with eggs.
You just, and paper. Literally, you have a dress made of eggs. You want to be a hen.
I'm the Gaga of poultry.
I'm just mad.
You're a bit mad about eggs.
I'm so random.
Your big dream in the world is to own an ostrich egg and then to hard boil it.
Yeah.
And dip an entire loaf of bread inside. I know. One day, mate. Anyway, so I found, albeit shards of, I haven't got the whole thing, so I filled in the gaps. I found my 6-page answer to this question.
Oh my God.
And I'm going to read it for you now.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And you can comment on each of the 101 things.
Oh no, this is the whole podcast.
I know, I've written so many things. Okay, so here we go. 101 things to do with an egg and a piece of paper by Paddy Jervis. Keep in mind, I was 13.
That's no excuse.
And probably a real dick.
The product of a fevered mind is still, you know, you're still going to be fucked up now, mate. I'm sorry.
But, I hope you enjoy it. Number one, wrap the paper around the egg in the hope that it hatches and the chicken thinks it is in purgatory.
Nice. Because it is white.
Because it won't make, wake up in this white room.
Hang on. I've seen a floor.
No, not this early on. Really?
Yeah. Surely an egg, right? An egg is fairly kind of purgatory-like. Surely, it would already be aware they would have to break out of something.
Yeah, but it's
just,
not aware in the egg.
Wrestle out of the paper.
Is it like a sentient hatchling?
Well, yeah, but you still know what you're doing. You still know you're getting out of an egg.
Oh, what's it? Oh, yeah, I'm in an egg.
No,
of
you couldn't
course.
Go, obviously, he wouldn't go, oh, it's an egg. But you go, well, I've got to get out of this big white thing. And then when there's another big white thing, he'd just go... Oh, we'll get out of this one as well.
Well, no, you must have. But if he thought, what's on the other side of the egg? And then he comes out and goes, this is it. And he has a kind of existential crisis.
I don't think a chicken is capable of that, especially at one day old.
Well,
they expected too much, this fucking chicken.
That's number one.
Okay.
I'm sure you'll find many more flaws. Okay. Number two, put the egg under the piece of paper and then push it around. It will move erratically because of the shape of an egg, and you can tell people that it's a mouse.
No, you could, no.
I've done that in a pub before.
Oh, God.
I've won a drink using that. My friend James taught me that trick. If you put an egg under a piece of paper and tap the egg and it'll move in a really weird way, and you say, oh, mouse is out, and then suddenly everyone will panic. Believe me. Anyway, all right. Number three, make a cone with the paper and put the egg in it and pretend it's a telescope with an egg in it.
That's just stupid. You don't need the egg for that.
Well, yeah, it's like a spyglass with an egg.
I don't need the egg.
There's a lot of things that involve making it into something and there being an egg present. Yeah. Okay. Number four, break the egg and use the paper as a plate to eat it raw. I just thought that would be, you know, I thought that would be fun.
So he's doing an egg and a piece of paper?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would have thought that was a relatively obvious one. But it took me four answers to get there. Come on. Number five, make an origami swan and convince an idiot that it laid a real egg.
Oh, that's quite cute. I like that.
I think that's quite nice. Because, you know, when you
fool
fold...
children for
if,
years.
What is it? If you fold 1001, your dreams come true or whatever it is.
Those are cranes, aren't they? Well, not swans.
Well, you know, swan, crane... They're the same thing, aren't they?
No, one lifts bricks, the other one is a dick to children.
Origami, construction vehicles.
Them Japanese lads.
Them Japanese, they just love vehicles.
They love construction machines.
Anyway, I think that one's quite sweet. Number six, screw the paper up and throw it on the floor near the egg, shouting, oh, what's the point? And if you look frustrated enough, it'll look like you're writing a screenplay about an egg and you have writer's block.
Just about an egg.
Yeah, and you've gone,
Why do you have to throw it near the egg just to compound the
association?
Yeah,
because people will go, oh, well, he's obviously been focusing
obviously
on the egg.
If you threw it away from there, be like, oh, what's the egg doing?
Ideally, you need lots of bits of paper and a full waste paper bin and an old-timey typewriter.
Yeah,
and a cigarette and a beret and
beret?
A tiny sense of self-worth. that kind of thing.
What a lovely image.
Anyway, seven, make the paper into a sling and hoof the egg at someone who isn't suspecting it.
Nice, James.
Yeah, like David and Goliath, but with eggs, you know.
You killed someone with an egg.
I don't know, could you kill someone with an egg?
Well, isn't one end of them really impervious to pressure?
Yeah, if you hit an egg in exactly the right place, it won't break.
You can stand
that the kind of thing you can stand on it,
yeah.
But only if it's perfectly. I might even tackle that later in this essay. Anyone?
I call this an essay. It's a very loose
interpretation. All right, number 8. Put them next to each other and call it art, and the Tate Modern will pay you thousands for it, huh. And you can say it's an expression of your views on, like, child labour or some shit.
That's a pretty astute point. Yeah. More than I understand what's it coming to.
What is art?
Bloody hell, shit in a bag, call it art, buddy.
God, yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, yeah, that one, yeah, probably doesn't work. Number 9. Use the egg as a template to draw around, and you will end up with a perfect drawing of an egg.
Can't quibble. Well, hang on. Because whenever I try to draw around something, I got to get the pencil at the wrong angle at one point, and then there's like a little lump in it.
Yeah, but that's your fault. It's not the egg's fault.
I've never tried to
You can still do it with
I'm
an egg.
I'm just saying, if I
paper.
Did it, it wouldn't be a perfect picture of an egg.
Okay, well, that's your problem, mate.
Soz.
All right. Number 10. Yeah, you see, we're 10% in. God. Break the egg and leave a chicken-based suicide note next to it to confuse bystanders.
Oh, no!
Like, before
it's
birth.
Like infanticide suicide. That's horrible.
Yeah, I just, you know, we don't know what chickens
think. Do you know what that makes you think of, morbidly? The butterfly effect, when he strangles himself in the womb. That's what that is.
Oh, yeah.
So, well done.
Oh, fine, Ashton Kutcher, eat your heart out. Number 11. Number 11. Turn the paper into a makeshift papoose and pretend the egg is your baby.
I love the word papoose. Papoose.
I think I just wanted to get the word papoose in there.
Papoose.
Number 12. Put the egg on the paper and twist both ends to turn it into a cracker, and the egg is the prize.
Yeah, but hang on. If you pull it too forcibly and then it falls out, then you've got another,
You've got a mess on
suicide
your
suicide egg.
Well, yeah. But no, that one will have been your
fault.
Got a
deconstructed omelette.
It's just a cheap cracker. I thought,
cheap cracker, mate.
Could use that at Christmas. Number 13. Break the egg and make a mosaic on the paper using the shell, and the egg innards will suffice as glue.
Will they suffice?
Yeah, they'll be glue. Of course they will.
What do you mean, of course?
Yeah, mosaics.
The number one.
I love some good mosaics.
Sure. But is egg stuff going to be glue?
Well, yeah, they use egg whites for glue and all sorts of things.
In what?
I tackle that later on. In
Warhammer?
Food. No, in food, you put egg on something to make it stick together, like ravioli.
I'm going to leave it. We'll carry on. I don't agree with that at all.
All right, okay. Number 14. Make the paper into one of those fortune teller things.
Nice.
And put all the answers as "you will receive an egg." And then the first person tries it, does it, and then you give them an egg. And they'll be like, oh my God, an egg.
Oh, is it? That's how Darren Brown started.
Yeah, exactly. Darren Egg. Anyway, number 15. Make an egg sandwich using paper as bread and egg as egg.
Nice.
That one's okay. But yeah, you can eat paper. Rice paper. That's fine. Loads of people do that.
I'm just thinking it's a bit of Xerox.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Number 16. Wrap the paper around the egg in a really fancy way and leave it for a child at Easter.
Yeah, okay. Great. Lovely.
Yeah.
But they get an egg.
Well, an Easter egg.
Yeah, but it's literally an egg.
Yeah.
Like, surely they'd be like chocolate, great, and it'd be a fucking raw, probably off by the time they get to an egg.
Yeah, Easter is a while away. I'm not saying I'm doing this. I'm not saying I've done all of this stuff. I'm just saying you could.
That'd be the worst surprise
do
ever.
It.
If I went out into my living room and then you'd festooned 100 eggs and bits of paper.
101.
Oh, sorry.
Number 17.
Let's not forget that one.
Put the egg on the paper and try and whip the paper out of it without moving the egg, like one of those magicians, the tablecloths, the way they do it.
Easy, done that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure you have done it. Number 18. Write a note to your partner saying, I'm leaving, you can keep the baby, and leave the egg next to it.
Oh, that's quite sad.
See, that links to the earlier one about the papoose.
See, it's a series.
I'm starting to weave plot lines in. If you follow closely...
By number 20.
There's a story that emerges.
Wow.
Number 19. Leave a castaway-style note... And then make a small hole in the egg and force the note inside of it, and then throw it off a boat in the hope that someone will find it and try and rescue you from the island of poultry.
You've got a very active imagination. You did anyway.
Yeah, that was the point of the exercise.
Wow.
I thought that'd be cool. Can you imagine but sitting on a beach and an egg floats up to you?
I don't think an egg would withstand the sea
open.
Pressure and currents.
I'm sure. Shut up. You don't know enough about eggs.
Sorry, it's painfully clear.
Number 20. Wipe egg white all over the paper and then try and use it in like a lasagna or a pie as like a fun layer.
It wouldn't be fun. It'd be horrible. terrible.
Yeah, but that's what you do. That's what I was talking about. Basting.
That's what you do.
Basting. That's what it's called.
No, that's with juices.
Yeah, no, you baste stuff with it. You can baste stuff with egg.
If you're a prick.
You get an egg baster.
If you're a prick.
There is no
such thing as an egg baster.
Yeah, but you know, you like brush egg onto lasagna
strips.
Yeah,
okay, that's to make it shiny.
No.
Yes.
Why would you want to make food shiny?
Because it looks nice.
Bullshit.
Glaze.
Right. 21. Put both down and just cry uncontrollably.
Okay, that'd be my first step.
I think that's when I started to get bored of the essay, and then I got a second wind. Check this out. Number 22. Try and make an egg cup out of the paper and then serve it to someone at breakfast.
Aww.
Yeah, you see, that's quite nice. So you can see I'm getting back into it. Number 23. Open a pub called the Old Egg and Paper and have them mounted above the bar.
Just got an egg and paper, mate.
Have them like a stag's head, but like up there, and they'll be like the symbol
but
of
they'd
unity.
Be like, but they'd be like nailed onto the walls of the egg would be completely derelict.
Ruined. But yeah, and people, you know, let's go down the Old Egg and Paper, you know, get a couple of pints, and you know, they'd love it. Anyway, I think that's a good idea. Number 24, make a boat out of the paper and put the egg in it and race it against your friends on the local river.
Oh, that's definitely an Abingdon.
Like poo sticks.
Poo sticks, but
like poo sticks. 25, set up a shop that only sells one egg and one piece of paper and make your millions. They'd have to be very highly priced.
Yeah, I don't think you could. No.
Yeah, if you were young enough, though, you know, like kids that sell things on the side of the road.
Have
like
you seen that really beautiful video of the kid who made up his own arcade?
Kane's Arcade.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
That is a really good video.
It's so lovely.
Do check that out on YouTube.
Slightly more exciting than an egg.
Yeah, Kane's Arcade. This is just a story of this young boy in America who just builds his own arcade out of cardboard.
Oh, it's lovely.
It's really wonderful.
Because loads of people come down.
And then the sequel. Which is also
the
second video, which is now it's like a huge success, and the kid is like a young entrepreneur. How amazing is that? That is true.
Why didn't I do that? I wanted to do that, and no one, you know.
Laurie's Arcade doesn't have the same ring to it.
All right, fuck off.
You'd have to call it like Laurie's Game Emporium.
That'd be terrible. That sounds like a front for a paedophile ring. That's
oh, God.
Awful.
Oh, let's not go into that. Xylophone song. It's the xylophone song. I love xylophone. Xylophones.
Really need a xylophone.
We should just buy one, shouldn't we? Yeah, it'd be easier. So check this out.
You've been drinking again, haven't you?
That's funny you should say that.
Oh, I knew it.
Funny
I could smell the serpentine.
Whilst I was waiting for you to finish work today, because, you know, you have a job.
A real one? Well, technically.
A real one.
I don't really do much.
I know, but
it's just grading lizards on a big sliding scale.
But that's the thing, I'm self-employed.
You don't know about lizards.
That's the thing, I don't know anything about lizards.
Frills, that's one part.
Yep.
Eyes,
yep.
Scales, yep. Propensity towards dragons.
Yep. You know, you're
that's
on
it.
That.
I'm on it.
So whilst I was waiting for you to finish your apparently lizard-based job, I went to the pub.
Oh, lovely.
I went and sat in the pub, and I did a bit of writing, and I was sat outside in the smoking garden, and I overheard a conversation.
Is it overheard? Did you forcibly enter yourself?
I
just imagine your head appearing between two people like, oh, what's this I hear?
I overheard.
You're talking about fish again?
These two men having this conversation, and I was trying not to eavesdrop, but I love eavesdropping.
It's so fun.
So basically, there's two guys. They were obviously old friends. They were both about, I don't know, 30, I'd say.
Okay.
And one of them, let's call him Man One,
Man Alpha
was he's obviously just like he's on like his second date with this girl, right?
Okay.
Not at the pub, but like he's just had his second date with this girl, Emily.
Things going well?
Well, this is the thing. He thinks it's going well. Man two, let's call him Beta. He obviously has known this girl for about 15 years. Like they were school friends.
Mutual friends.
And I think he's the reason that they met.
Of course.
So Man One is going, yeah, no, I think it's going really well. Like,
sounds like a hilarious setup for romantic comedy.
this is really good. So he's like, yeah, I think it's going great, actually. Like, she was really lovely, we went for dinner, like, went out for some cocktails afterwards. And, I think this really could be something.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was really nice. And Man Two went, yeah, you know what, mate, I totally agree. I couldn't be happier that you're with her, because, you know what, like, out of all those boyfriends she's had, You're the best.
Uh-oh.
And the guys, the man one's like, oh, right, yeah, yeah. What do you mean, sort of, all the boyfriend? Does she get around a bit?
Oh.
And man two's like, well, yeah, I mean, you know, she's had her run-ins.
She's
had a fair share of guys. Don't worry, she doesn't put it about or anything. It's just like she has had a lot.
It didn't turn into a big dick trap.
No, absolutely. Okay, it was just like she's had a lot of relationships and, you know, they haven't gone well.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, man. And the look on this guy's face, he was like, oh, so,
I feel so bad.
So did you meet all of them? So, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I've known Emily for, you know, years. Like, of course I met all of these guys. And like, God, you know, like, and he started literally reeling off this list.
Oh, wonderful.
Whilst man, with
you,
man alpha.
You in the corner going,
I'm giggling and writing this all down, but man one is getting increasingly more like hesitant.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And a gal, exactly. So basically, I wrote down some of the names. I tried to get as many of the facts as I could. I may have embellished some of them.
Should we fill in the gaps?
You might have to help me out on a couple of these guys. But basically, the basis of all of these men is true, including the names.
Okay.
So, as I say, they may be slightly exaggerated for the purposes of vocal comedy.
Comedic effects.
So he starts off and he goes, well, of course, you know, there was Michael.
Sounds normal.
Yeah, that's the thing. And Michael, this is obviously sort of a sort of childhood sweetheart. I'm guessing maybe sort of 14, 15.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, Michael was all right. I mean, he was a bit obsessed with cycling.
Oh.
You know, and he was harmless, but he really had the eyes of a killer.
And it was that one time, you know, in Marbella when he did kill that dog.
Yeah.
With his bare hands.
And he was like, no, but don't worry about him. I mean, like, you know.
He did enjoy it.
It wasn't a big deal. They were just sort of, you know, I think they sort of got together at school and, you know, he was... Yeah, he was quite into sort of, you know, hunting and cycling and
hunting.
Killing and cycling and like, and this guy's like, oh, okay. And he's like, no, but don't worry.
I mean, there was that one time that he did loose Emily in the woods with a blindfold on.
Yeah.
And then run around on a horse.
And she loved it.
That's got her off no end. But anyway, try that, mate. Oh,
she
wow.
ended it with Michael.
Thank God.
Because, yeah, she ended it with Michael because I don't think Michael was that exciting. He was just a
despite
bit...
the murderous streak.
He was just a bit intense on weird things. Anyway, so she then moves on. This is, I'm assuming, university. She moves on to a man simply known as Jarlsey.
Oh, Jarlsey. Oh, not Jarlsey.
And Jarlsey,
he's a lad of that time.
The only real fact that I got about him was that Jarlsey is a wrestler.
Oh, no.
And you can imagine man one going,
a wrestler.
He must be quite big. Yeah, no, massive. No, yeah, he used to, you know, he was a championship wrestler. He was, you know, he could wrestle anyone.
And his own thong.
He could wrestle a bear, he could wrestle a fox, you know, anything. You give him an animal,
bear,
he'll wrestle
and a fox.
It. Yeah. I don't know why
an
I thought
eagle, a yeah. mouse.
It's like, you know, and he walks around in this like lycra, and like if anyone said anything about her, he'd just wrestle
him. Wrestle him to the ground.
Just wrestle him to the ground, he'd pin him.
Of course, that's the one time that boy came up and asked her to do the dual walk. Fuck off, you fucking drink. Did you chokehold? Choke slam.
Pinned
through
him,
the table.
And then referee came in, started counting.
People's elbow.
Slamming his hand on the floor, you know. He was the Rock. That was it.
He was the Rock, of course.
So anyway, Jarlsey. I think her and Jarlsey broke up because Jarlsey was quite violent. I think he used to shit in public places.
Like, just to make a point. To make be a intimidating.
Point. Yeah.
I'm going to shit here just because I hate you.
Just because I care.
Oh, smell it.
And then,
what a charming fella.
And then there was Ryan.
Ryan.
Okay, now
from the OC.
By this point, it could have been actually. Oh. By this point, man one is kind of like, oh, there's quite a few men in her life. Anyway, Ryan was always crying. He loved her too much.
It's too sensitive.
And he was like, he'd always like write her songs and like buy her animals and like, you know, I think he cared for her as if she was sort of like a pet bird,
like a child.
You know, she felt caged by Ryan. And I think he was sort of like the lover denied, as it were, the sort of
was
like
it Ryan Adams,
the hopeless romantic. It was Ryan Adams.
And then he wrote an album.
And I think Ryan actually broke up with her, if I remember correctly, because she didn't get him.
Oh, too deep.
Yeah, he was too deep.
Yeah, he was too deep. She was a mere puddle.
And Emily sounds like a perfectly nice girl. Yeah. The little tidbits I got about her,
apart from the endless cycle of shits that followed.
Except for the track record of terrible men. And then there was Thomas, who is simply 100% true in jail now for undisclosed reasons.
Oh no!
And they just didn't. They just left that.
How
well
could you
alone.
Leave that? How would you ever leave that? Someone said, "Oh, an ex-boyfriend. You know, she's really serious. He's in prison now." You wouldn't just go, "Oh, of course, oh, it's fine."
Yeah, no.
You
he was go, like, "Oh, right." And he was like, "Yeah, no, don't worry about it, mate. No, he's out of the picture."
Was it like
so
potato smuggling?
He's away for a long time.
Snake baiting.
Like, I don't fucking know. Like, this guy could have been anyone.
Treason.
Like, Thomas,
I mean, what?
I think he was something to do with Guy Fawkes. Just putting it out. just putting it out there.
He went back to the 16th century and plotted to murder King James. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that was the idea. And they obviously broke up because he went to jail.
I mean, as you would, I imagine.
Then,
oh God,
goes on. Then there's Rod. Rod is a musician.
Did he have a big beard?
He's the typical like beautiful musician. Like you know, he was amazing at like viola or something. I can't really remember. And
bit damaged though.
Bit damaged a little bit. Like he smoked intense. A lot of weed. Right. And anyway, I think his band got quite big, and then he cheated on her. So they left on bad terms. I think he was Rod Stewart. Like, that was the only Rod I could think of.
Going out with Rod Stewart, he's a big old husky
and also,
of a man.
For her to be going out with him when his career took off, Emily must be ancient. like, and these guys, she might be about 60. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, Rod and her broke up because he cheated on her.
Was it because of his enormous penis?
It was probably that. Right, and you know, and he kept on, you know, hitting people with his viola. And like, you know,
you're going to say his penis?
Yeah, just
hit everyone with his penis. Get in my way. Get a penis to the face. Fuck off.
And then there was Jeremy.
he sounds nice.
Jeremy, that's the thing. Jeremy was apparently the best.
Aww.
Like that was the one that Man 2, obviously, I think Jeremy and him were mates.
Oh. And
that made Man 1 uncomfortable because he was like, it was lovely. He was so lovely. But like, something was a bit off with him. He had loads of money and he had loads of different mobile phones.
Ooh.
So that to me implies pimp or drug dealer.
I was going
to
say drug dealer.
But he had this sort of, like this staunch charisma that I think maybe more tends towards like the super successful drug dealer as opposed to being a nasty piece of work.
I see what
like,
you mean.
Like
the really fine drug dealer to the stars.
Yeah, exactly. Drug dealer to the star. You know, maybe him and Rod knew each other. Maybe that's how they got
that's
involved.
How they met. How did my question is, how did she meet all these fucking people?
Well, I don't know. She's probably a travel agent.
A travel agent? That's the most glamorous job you can think of in the heat of the moment. I don't know. Probably travel agent. You could have anything. Woman footballer. You could have had, you know, integral member of the Starlight Express cast circa 2005. You could have had Michelin-starred chef. You could have had astronaut. You could have had the handler of Lassie.
Of that monkey
Lassie's
who's in everything.
That monkey who's in all the adverts.
The one who's like Ace Ventura, he was in Friends. How big is that monkey?
It's the same monkey.
It's the same monkey.
He's quite small. He's only a little monkey.
I think he is the best trained monkey out of all of them. You know.
How many trained monkeys have you met?
Him. Bubbles.
What's the guy in? What's those really the orangutan?
Dunstan checks in.
Yeah, Dunstan checks in.
He was the best monkey.
Oh, you can't contradict yourself immediately. What about Curious George?
Curious George was fake.
What do you mean he was? Don't tell me that.
Curious George a drawing? He was an animated cartoon.
Yeah, but I can't.
No, Dunstan's the one you've got to watch out for. Because Dunstan Checks In was huge.
Was he a bit
and do you know what? I was actually talking to someone about this the other day. The tagline for the Dunstan movie is something along the lines of, like, Dunstan's in New York and he's checking into a hotel. Like, that's not a tagline.
That's not a film idea. Monkey goes to a city and attempts to grapple with the intricate workings of a hotel concierge.
But yeah, but that's the thing. Wouldn't you expect it to be like, a hero will rise, an empire will fall,
It is a film about comedic monkey. I doubt they put a lot of effort into the tagline.
What, just like a Rob Schneider. At the end of time, one ape has the power to save them
all. Exactly.
Dunstan checks in, and then it's like Dunstan on a skateboard in dungarees.
Whoa!
With like a hotel.
Yeah,
it's
not gonna be like one kingdom throws turmoil. One man saves his kingdom for the sake of a monkey.
That monkey, checks in. And he's got his little passport
and a broadsword.
He doesn't know what he's doing in that hotel. He's got no idea.
He's a fucking monkey.
He's jumping on the beds. He's drinking out the toilet. Like, fucking hell. What a movie. What a movie. That's all I can say.
So Jeremy was that monkey. No.
What were we talking about?
Emily was the monkey wrangler.
How did we get
here? That's how she met everyone.
Emily, yes.
By wrangling Dunstan.
Who's Emily?
The girl.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I got the monkey thing through me.
It always does.
So anyway, so she had a monkey or some shit. Anyway. And then, of course, there was Dodgy Dave. Who we know very little about. He was a fantastic pool player.
Had three fingers.
Yeah. Like, I don't know much about Dodgy Dave. I think the other guy already knew about Dodgy Dave, so they
Dodgy Dave.
But can you imagine just like down the pub, there's Dodgy Dave, Pool QP, and like Switchblade Steve, and they're all like, they're not even having a drink. They're just pushing glass into their face, and like,
they're all really, really nice. They're just really unfortunate nicknames. Oh, yeah. Dodgy Dave. He once didn't shower for a couple of days.
Yeah,
that's, and he just
Dodgy Dave.
And Switchblade Pete like once bought a Switchblade when he was 15 in Nantes.
Yeah,
he brought it back from a school trip.
But they all drink in a pub that's called like the Shattered Shiv.
Yeah,
or something,
exactly.
Or like the Broken Ferret.
Amongst all the ruffians, but they are actually wealthy.
The Aging Weasel.
They're all investment bankers from AIG. You know, they all do really well.
No. Anyway, so they didn't talk about Dodgy Dave. But anyway, he goes, fuck, that's a lot of guys. And he goes, yeah. Well, I mean, that kind of brings us up to speed. I mean, of course, you met her most recent ex.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes, yeah, James. Yeah, no, he seems like a really nice guy. And he goes, yeah. I think they're actually on really good terms still. I mean, you know, he kept the kid, obviously. And man one, I swear, goes white.
White
as a sheet.
Who wouldn't?
And goes, I'm sorry, what'd you say? He goes, yeah, he's got Ben. And it turns out they have a 2-year-old son that Emily hadn't told him about.
Wow.
And he was like, Emily
didn't
tell me that.
In the care of James.
In the care of James.
One of the many... Well, I mean, just because he's associated with one of the fuckheads.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had no idea. And he was like, fuck. And then there was just this awkward silence. And he was like, well, I think I better go. And the other guy was like, all right. Sorry, mate. He was like, yeah, I'm going to go and call her. And that's how it ended.
That's really upsetting.
I'm sorry that ended on such a somber note,
man.
But I wanted to have as much truth in this as possible. And what happened.
Do you reckon if you were that guy, you would be really mortified that you're going to end up to be, like, just by being close to this girl? It's probably lovely.
Yeah.
But you're going to end up being something weird. Like, some weird aspect of your personality is going to drag down. It's like, you're going to be Dominic the Catman because you own a cat, but actually it turns out you like dressing up as a cat as well. Having little cat tea parties with all your friends and, you know, licking each other in the face.
Right.
That's all I can think
that's
of.
Your,
what about
that's
Jimmy?
Your 2 cents for this.
Jimmy week. Curtains, who never wears any clothes other than curtains and like has a little drawstring. And whenever it's like at a really inappropriate time. So like the first time you meet him,
why
like,
you go horn?
Back. You go, I'm sorry, and you go back to his place, and you like, and you have, and you know, you get you have the sexy time, and it's quite fun because he goes, well, hey, the show's open, and you're like, oh, that's a cute little gimmick. And then round your mother's house, way, Jimmy Curtains, that just all the time. And then, you know, kids playground, way, Jimmy Curtains, you know, graveyard, way, Jimmy Curtains. Definitely arrested, probably put to death.
Let's move on.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Eggs. It's my egg song.
Number 26. break off a bit of the egg and turn the paper into some sort of envelope and send it to a farmer asking for a ransom.
But then, all right, surely though, by the time it gets to the farmer, the egg is again fucked.
Well, no.
And then they'll just think it's disgusting. It's like sending a finger in the place.
No, you're just sending one bit of shell. And he'll be like...
But then the egg isn't intact.
Oh, no, you've got the rest of my egg.
You know, the rest of my one egg.
His prized
which
egg.
Is now ruined because it's got a bit of the shell missing.
His failing farming, like, business.
He has to have that one egg.
Has but... one egg and you've stolen it. And with the money, he could buy loads more eggs. But he hasn't...
No, hang on, that's not what farming's about. Sorry, that's not what farming is. You don't, like, get money and then buy more stuff. You don't just buy loads. You don't go down to Sainsbury's and buy 50 eggs and then sell them off. Yeah, chickens. He's got cheese. Fine.
Oh,
leave him.
Well, we'll sterilise the chickens or something. I don't know. Anyway, number 27. Drink the raw egg and use the nutrients to get strong enough to break the world record for how many times you can fold a piece of paper in half. Yeah, you see, I think that one's quite
is
clever.
Is one egg enough?
Well, it depends how weak you are. You could already be really strong. That's what
that would help. That
and
would
you,
help.
You need one egg's worth of protein
to tip you over
that edge. Number 28. Fold the paper into a rough chicken shape and use the little things to explain the bird cycle of life to a child.
That'd be awful again. What do you mean? How would you do the fucking bit with one bit of chicken?
Oh no, you're just paper. Saying this is how they start and this is how they end. You know, and this is how they go and this is where they ride and all that. You know,
this is where they ride. This is where they watch Mad Men on TV. No,
fine. Number 29. Send both to Heston Blumenthal with a note saying, "Surprise me, Heston."
Probably pop it up his bum and then serve it to you.
No, he'd send back like a duck à l'orange. He can do anything with food. That guy, he's mad. Food science. That's a
great.
That's a good topic.
Contemporary touchstone of society there.
Even though Heston Blumenthal hasn't done anything in like 4 years. And then we're only just reaching that bit. Number 30. Roll up the paper into a tube and use it as a fake peg leg. And then put the egg on your shoulder and pretend you're a broke pirate trying to relive his heyday.
I remember when this was a live bird.
Yeah, somehow it's gone backwards and the parrot went back into its egg.
When did that happen? Do parrots come out of eggs?
Yes, of course. They do.
This is when you're going to ask me, is a fucking salmon a fish again, isn't it? Jesus Christ, mate.
I've never seen a parrot egg. I bet they're very colourful.
No,
probably
not.
Quite fun.
No.
All right, then. Number 31. Roll the paper into a cone and use it as a hat and hold the egg for all to see, exclaiming, "I am the egg dunce."
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I like it.
I just thought dunce hat, eggs, egg dunce.
That's a band name, I am the egg dunce, right there.
Number 32. Make little holes in the paper and sit on a park bench looking through them and pretend you're spying on the egg.
I like that, but when would you just be staring at a blank bit? But surely the whole point of having a paper with eye holes cut in is that, you know, you would essentially be reading the paper and it's an opportunity for you to spy while doing something that looks normal.
Well, you could draw.
You would never just be staring at a piece of A4 Xerox paper with a matte finish. Especially if you were observing an egg. You don't need to get the paper to observe an egg. The egg can't see. It's a fucking egg.
Yeah, but people will think you're mental.
I think I'll think that already. I don't even need to read about five of these. I've already swiftly come to that conclusion. I just saw you with an egg and a bit of paper. Just not doing anything. I just assume you were...
Some of
soft.
These are really good.
I will have you know. It.
Number 33. Scrunch up the paper into a sort of stick and then run down the street batting the egg, playing like a variation on that old hoop and stick game. Do you remember that?
Do you remember that? Again, you know, in the 1500s, you were there, I was there. We used to roll the hoop down the street and go to the Motton Bailey and whisper "Hey Nonny" to the Earl. No. Wrong. Bad.
That was... I swear they had hoop and stick when we were little.
No, you definitely absorbed that from some
you're
very
kids
dark,
and then. You're, hey, wacky, hoop and stick. We also lived in Nevada, by the way.
Obviously. Can you imagine being the first person to see a kid play the hoop and stick? You'd just be going, what the fuck are they up to
and
now?
They'd be like, oh, Terence has stumbled upon something that's quite the gas.
Quite droll.
Quite droll.
I drew a hoopla and a whittling stick.
Look at what he's created. Number 34. I'm just moving swiftly on.
Please.
Roll up the paper and put the egg on the ground and play egg golf.
Ah, the famous game of egg golf.
And then there could be a spin-off like Wii Golf.
With eggs.
Yeah, it would be like a virtual reality egg golf.
Why would it have to be an egg if it's virtual reality?
I don't...
Aim higher, man.
Sorry, I'm talking so quickly that I'm actually quite lightheaded. I don't know if I'm trying to get through this bit because I think it's wank or because I'm so excited. I think it's the latter. Like, I have so much faith in this essay that I'm just, I'm so excited. Anyway, I'm bright red as well.
Do you want a little break and we can come back to the edits in a second?
No! Number 35, we're at least getting halfway through before a break, my friend. Number 35, weave the paper into a little basket and put all of your eggs in it.
Hang on.
And then drop it in a public place and scream, oh, why did I put all my eggs in one basket?
Oh,
and you'll be like...
A cautionary tale.
Yeah, of course, you'll be a walking cautionary tale.
But you've got one egg.
Yeah.
All your eggs. I mean, yeah, it is, but by definition, by default.
It is all my eggs.
Yeah, but it's one egg.
Well, yeah.
I've got problems with that.
You could have split it in half, put it in two baskets.
Then you could...
Well, buy more eggs then. Fucking hell, mate. God. Number 36. Put a paper sign next to the egg saying, the egg clearly came first, still waiting for chicken.
Nice. Nice. That's philosophical.
That's a bona fide joke in there.
Oh.
Yeah. Number 37. Waste hours of your time trying to come up with things to do with said paper and egg. That was my little stab at the teacher.
Yeah.
That was me trying to be clever.
I did that with number one, just be right in there.
No, because then she wouldn't appreciate the frankly genius the rest of this. Anyway, number 38. Draw a target on the paper and practice your egg throwing skills.
Everyone needs to know how to throw an egg.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one's actually quite rational. 39.
Compared to the rest of this fucking fantasist bullshit.
Write to the Queen.
Oh, God.
On the paper, claiming the egg is the Duke of Edinburgh's bastard son. I've also put side note, Duke of Edinburgh. Ignore that. Try and get a title or something out of her in return of not going to the press.
Of not telling all the papers about the egg.
Yeah, be like, make me a baron or the sun will know. That kind of thing. No, that's confusing. The sun, the paper, never mind. Number 40. Write a magazine on the paper with the egg as the free prize that comes with that month's issue.
That'd be a collector's item immediately.
Yeah. And then don't release any more issues.
No more eggs.
Yeah. And you know the way that... You know... That's something that annoys me. With magazines, that for something really specific, like for like fantasy gaming or like building like railways or some shit,
yeah.
The first edition is always 50p and comes with something really cool. But then edition two, it's a fiver. They rope you in.
How many of those have you bought?
I buy them all the time.
You've got like one bit of railway. You've got like the feet of a space marine.
Yeah, like and the, you've got like the strings of a mandolin.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, it's, yeah. I guess I got really into
and
all that
red
kind of
pen,
stuff.
And that's it.
Yeah, I get fooled by them every time. That was just a side note.
Build your egg farm. Step one.
Here's an egg. Yeah, I mean that's the best thing you could offer. Either that or land. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Your own little plot of land. Anyway, number 41, use the egg as a paperweight. Don't know why I didn't get that one earlier, because that seems to be the most obvious.
Yeah.
42, kill someone and frame the egg and paper.
How?
I don't know.
Would it be like a case of writing on the egg, like, I hate people?
Yeah.
And then, the paper would
Duncan
say...
Duncan is a dead man.
Yeah, the paper would say, I'm going to kill Duncan at 7pm tonight in a very mysterious way, which I shan't explain, but it was definitely me.
Yeah, and they can be like the mystery witness. And actually, this actually ties in with number 43, which is, if that doesn't work, use them as your alibis in the trial.
I was looking after the egg.
Yeah, I was drawing.
I was writing this fucking bullshit essay.
I was eating eggs. You can ask anyone.
Ask the egg.
Number 44. Put a chicken next to a tree and then say, egg, paper, I'd like you to meet your real parents.
Aww.
That's quite sweet.
Hang on. Eggs don't grow on trees.
I see what you've done. You've made a mix and match. That's me falling down a well.
Laughing and everything.
Oh, God. Number 45, tear the paper up into streamers and then dye them yellow with the egg yolk and throw yourself a little parade.
Stinky egg paper.
A little stinky egg paper parade.
Oh.
Number 46, realise that there is no egg and then go into the Matrix with the paper.
What would you do with the paper in the Matrix?
You would write,
I know Kung Fu.
Yes.
And then you would never...
You would use it to put the red pill on.
Paper cut Agent Smith.
Yeah, absolutely.
Viciously.
Agent Smith.
Moving on.
Moving on! Okay, enough about the Matrix. Number 47. Lie on a beach with the egg and a piece of paper on your bare chest and get sunburn everywhere except there so that you have an outline of each of them on you for weeks.
Why?
And in addition, the egg may cook.
Yes, why would you want an outline of an egg and a piece of paper? Hang on, if you put them both on top of each other, then you just get the paper as well.
Oh, I don't know, mate. You haven't thought this through.
I have totally thought this through.
It'd be a good story, though, wouldn't it? Anyway.
No! You know what?
Number 48.
If you, came back here and said, mate, I've been on a great holiday, I put a bit of paper and an egg on my chest, look at what I've been, perfectly square bit of non-sunburn.
Number 48. Race them.
How? What?
I was really running low on
the age of 13.
Race them. Why the fuck not? Number 49. Get the egg stuck up a tree and then wait for it. And then wait at the bottom with some friends, all holding the paper, like one friend on each corner between you, shouting, we'll catch you, like the firemen do in America when like a bear gets stuck up a tree.
I don't think they do that for bears.
And then, yeah, and then they...
Bears don't get stuck up trees. Yeah, they love trees.
And then they tranquilize the bear. And then the bear falls onto the trampoline.
What the fuck have you been watching?
I've been watching bearrescue.org. Which is for some reason
bears
a website.
Bears love trees. They can get down very aptly. You're thinking of Dumbo. That's what you're thinking of.
What if the bear gets up the tree and then injures itself? On a branch?
Hard. No.
Yeah. Well.
Still get down.
Shove that in your pipe and wank it. Anyway, number 50, halfway, put the egg on eBay with the description saying that it belonged to Kurt Cobain or Michael Jackson or like William the Conqueror or some shit and sell it for loads of money and use the paper to make a certificate of authenticity.
I like that.
That one's
signed by William the Conqueror. It'd have to be a really stinky egg.
Oh yeah, I mean, it would have to be very old. You'd also have to assume that anyone who bought it is a total idiot. Although people do that, people sell things on eBay like a jar of air from Mount Everest, and people pay hundreds for it, and like a bucket of water from Loch Ness.
They deserve to lose that money.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a really good way. We should start doing that. We should start putting things on eBay, like every week. That it's just like
it's bullshit.
Yeah, no, well, not even lying about it. Just saying, this is a thimble of earth from Bethnal Green.
No one would want that. It's pretty full of scam.
No, I think people would go crazy for it. Anyway, number 51. Place the egg amongst a litter of newborn kittens with a note saying, I am a cat, to confuse the owners.
Nah.
I think you'd get away with that, no problem. Number 52. Roll the paper into a straw and drink the egg like one of those coconut drinks in Hawaii.
In Hawaii.
What you got there, sir?
It's a coconut
drink.
Egg. Oh, I got an egg.
Tell you what, I didn't even have to prepare it. I just had to make a hole in it and put a straw in there.
Yeah, it tastes fucking foul.
Well, yeah, but some people like drinking eggs.
No, they don't.
Number 53. Dip shreds of paper in egg and stick them to your face as a beard.
Nice.
Yep. Number 54. Dip shreds of paper in egg and sell them to teenagers, claiming that they're tabs of LSD.
You have to draw a little Mickey Mouse or something.
Yeah.
As well.
Must be a little Bart Simpsons or whatever. 55. Dip shreds of paper in egg. Yeah, I got stuck on this a bit. Dip shreds of paper in egg and eat them on the tube. Just to make people think
that's
mental.
That's not a good snack. I'm going to put it out there. So that's the worst snack.
What, paper and egg?
Yeah, exactly. Egg dipped paper. Can you imagine going to M&S and being, could have some knickknacks, could have some Percy Pigs, or could have
eggy paper. It'd be very overpriced. Right, I'm gonna stop just for 3 minutes because
I think
my heart's about to explode.
Listeners, I've had to put Paddy down for a little nap because he's just gone off on a massive egg spree. Like the only word he's been saying for the past half an hour is egg. I don't know what's wrong with him. He's burbling about quiches, about omelets. I've just got to let it go. So we'll conclude the exciting exciting instalment of Egg Chat next week. But for now, I'm going to let Paddy rest, have a little dream about, meringues. and we'll get back to you next week. Well, that's all we've got time for this week, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to Choose Your Own Adventure, though?
I'm sorry. Basically, there was going to be more of it this week, but I actually lent the book to someone.
They opened up a portal to the netherworld by reading it.
It's just like kind of inane scribblings, and like it's actually quite worrying to read. But so I haven't brought it with me this week, but it will come back next week.
Yeah, here's hoping the police don't
I've got some great things in store.
I'm excited. I miss Flagon.
I know, I'm sure you do. I miss Barbossa. You know, he's I think that's the other thing. I need to give my voice a bit of a rest. There have been like 40 characters, and probably two of them we've actually, you know, elaborated at all. We put in a New York goblin who had no reason to be in there. And then there was like Terry or whatever.
Planetarium.
He was the goblin. The engine room guy. Who was like three quarters horse, and like his voice changed dramatically through the course of the episode.
But we can look forward to more of that in next week.
Because that's when we're going into our first actual sort of dungeon in the adventure, which is the cave of Captain Jack Bastard.
Say no more.
I won't.
Remember, if you have any of your own suggestions for adventure, if you choose your adventure or anything we do, if you really want to control this steaming heap of bullshit, then do send us an email. We love to get emails. podshambles@gmail.com.
That's P O D
S H
A M B
L
E S at
no, G. That's enough.
Okay, at gmail.com. Sorry, I don't know why I went into that.
You can go at podshambles on Twitter. We've had a lot of new Twitter followers. We're getting some healthy conversations going there.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes. Some fan contact for you. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have some kind of contribution and direction so we actually know where we're going.
Absolutely.
But I think it's only natural now that we say thank you to all the people that helped us out this week. I mean, obviously, Paddy, thanks, mate. You've been brilliant.
Thank you so much. I mean, it's an honour.
That's enough.
Okay.
Keep it. I don't care.
Have you got a lot of thanks to do?
You know, mate, so many people. We've got Valerie for the tea. Where's Valerie?
Oh, I'm right here.
Thank you, Valerie.
It's not a problem. I love making all the tea for you.
Bless you.
I'll make more next week.
Oh, you better not. It was pretty
All right.
See you, Valerie. And then, of course, there is Ragnar the Black, who sorted out all the pillaging this week. He was great.
Oh! I pillaged a lot of
you
them.
You did, no, Ragnar, you did.
You did. Well done. Thank you.
That's all right. Bye bye.
Old Master Craghorn for doing all the writing and the book pressing.
Did I ever tell you about the writing and the book pressing?
You did it all for us this week, Grandad.
Well, the thing about writing and book pressing is, It's rather like Return of the King.
Oh, God, is it?
It's... So, there was this Strider.
Really?
Aragorn.
Yes.
Yes. And it withered. I have a lisp now.
You're quickly becoming more unwell as the show goes on.
I better go.
Thank you for
my tongue is expanding. Bye-bye.
And then, of course, there's old sister Marjorie, who, you know, blessed us this week. She has, of course, got 8 tentacles instead of a face. And then there was Scuba Brian, who dealt with all the fish.
Scuba Brian, here to tell you about all the latest happens in diving.
What's been going on this week, Brian?
Well, this week, flippers. Hey, you ever ridden a dolphin?
No.
Would you like to?
No.
Let's go. Oh, no. Okay.
Brian.
Okay,
thanks.
I'm going to go back to the sea.
Oh, I really wish I didn't have to speak to all these people again. I really didn't tolerate them the first time. Who could forget Crazy Dave?
Crazy Dave. I'm on another adventure.
Dave, we all know. We're saying thank you. You don't have to be crazy for this time.
Oh, okay.
You're all right, mate.
Yeah.
Don't worry. Thanks, though, mate. I'll see you down the pub.
Yes, no, absolutely.
I
will see you later.
Bring your wife.
I will.
And your other wife.
She's very dead.
And your other wife.
Yeah. It's very illegal for me to bring her. I'm gonna go.
Yeah, see you, mate. Right. And who could forget Edric the Bunny?
Edric the Bunny.
He just repeats everything I say.
Chapter 3. A quest in Bunner.
Bummer.
A quest in rabbit.
That's Edric's, by the way, I should mention. That's his narrator. Not actually Edric the Bunny. Obviously, being a bunny, he can't.
It's Edric's ghostwriter.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
Really good deal he got there. He's wearing millions.
I know.
Of carrots.
Yeah, him and Ian Rankin.
Ian Rankin.
They're really up there. And Andy McNabb.
And
the other one.
And a very special thank you to my partner in crime, my the diddle to my fiddle, the sugar to my splendor, the heel to my toe, Paddy.
You've already thanked me.
I'm thanking you again. Fucking take it, you bastard.
Oh, thank you. I why am I trying to do a different voice?
It's you.
Oh, Laurie, it's been a thing.
It's been a thing.
It's what it's been.
Well, we'll see not only
and
you.
To all the people you've forgotten, such as Clyde.
Clyde did the thing, and then of course he had the truck full on his face and felt bad.
Yeah.
But it's all right now.
Don't worry, Clyde. We'll get you
now.
Back to the ward, Clyde.
I've got to go. Give the fish.
And of course, Beyonce's lesser known sister, is it cilantro?
I can't do cilantro.
Give us some of your songs, cilantro.
Oh, I'm a herb, I live in a pot.
There's a reason that you're not as big as your sister.
I got a bum.
Yeah, you have, but you know, no one knows about it.
Oh.
You're not, you know, you're not married to Jay-Z, are you?
I wish.
Join us next week. Or next
more
9 days for more of the same. Bye.
Bye.